And also powerless to handle the temptations that come upon you. Have you found yourself under the attack of the enemy, not knowing what to do or how to handle it, and in need of help? I've been there. I think we all have. Today we will look at the fifth petition found in the Lord's Prayer. And I would invite you to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13 with me. We'll read together. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Amen. We will focus this morning on the 13th verse, lead us not into temptation. As we look at this familiar passage, the question might come to our minds, does God lead us into temptation? I would say that this is a passage that may have been misunderstood because when we look at it at first glance, that's the idea that we can initially get. So why do we have to ask God to lead us not into temptation? Again, the idea might sound as though he was the one leading us into it. But let's explore that a little further. One of the main principles used to understand the Bible correctly is to compare a passage or verse with other passages in the Bible to see whether, the idea that we are studying is confirmed or contradicted by other passages. We call that letting the Bible interpret itself. So, as we look at this passage, it says, lead us not into temptation. However, when we look at James 1:13, the Bible says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. This is key. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So is there a contradiction there? We will look at this further. There's not. There's just a deeper meaning there. The word translated here as temptation can also be translated as testing, which amplifies what we are reading about. It helps us to get a broader picture of the meaning and the intent of this particular word here. So we know that God does not tempt people. He himself cannot be tempted by evil, so he will not tempt anyone. There's nothing evil about God. So how can he tempt anyone or lead anyone into temptation per se? He does not. Now, while God never tempts anyone to do evil, he does allow circumstances that will test our character. As it was in the case of Jesus when he was tempted in Matthew 4. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by whom? By the devil, not by God. You and I are tempted. We go through things. God is leading us, but he's not the one tempting us. He's the one helping us to overcome the tests and the temptations and the trials that we face. Looking at other Bible passages and Bible stories, it will be correct to conclude that the idea of the petition here in verse 13 is not for God to protect us from temptation, but to protect us in temptation. He didn't protect Jesus from temptation per se. He protected him in it. And that's the God we serve. Well, many times he will deliver us not from the trial, from the test, from the situation, but in it. Because there's a proving and there's a growth that takes place when our faith is tested. An untested faith I don't think it's worth very much, because if something that hasn't been tested cannot be really relied upon to be of much usage. Would you agree? When we go to school, we get tested. And then we're promoted to the next grade. And there's the same way in the spiritual realm. We go through tests that only we and know and God know what we go through on an individual basis. So God, the idea here, as one of my favorite theologians, F.F. Bruce, says, the idea of this petition is more like this. When we find ourselves surrounded by temptation, may we not be overpowered by it. So that's really the idea of lead us not into temptation. In other words, lead us not into the power, or let us not fall into the temptation. There's one translation that in the NIV in Spanish, the Spanish version of it, actually reads it, let us not fall into temptation. And I think they did a good job with that, handling that. And other translations in English, of course, carry out the same idea, the same meaning. Now, as disciples of Jesus, I think you would agree with me that there are many tests and many ways in which you and I can be tempted and tested. We live in a broken world tempted by sin and influenced by an invisible enemy who wants us to fail. And this invisible enemy, sometimes we ignore, or we may not be aware of him simply because we cannot see him. We're so used to what we can touch and see and smell, and we should be, because this is where we live. Nevertheless, there's a whole spiritual realm out there that is very real. And we have a spiritual enemy that's invisible who often tries to cause us to sin, to stumble. And we have to let us be clear at the same time that if we miss the mark at any point, our God is faithful to forgive and to restore us. So we all have missed the mark. But his best idea for us, his best plan, is that we grow on to perfection, that we continue to move on, and that we continue to grow into the image and likeness of Christ, and that we continue to grow in our character, in God-likeness, in Christ-likeness. It is why he is encouraging us to pray this way. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the power of temptation. Let us not fall victim of temptation, but deliver us from evil. At times we find ourselves in temptations that seek to destroy and overwhelm us. And the reality is, if we're honest, in our strength we cannot cope with temptations. We cannot cope with the enemy that is against us, the spiritual enemy, Satan, and his cohorts. We're not able to do it on our own strength. That's what we need to ask God to help us. Even Jesus, as he was tempted in Matthew 4, if you remember the passage, he defeated the devil by quoting the word of God and by submitting himself to God. In fact, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we're not able to do it on our own. We need God's power to do it. Yes, the reality is we find a great deal of temptations and tests in this life. However, there are great news in the Bible about our tests and our trials and our temptations. There's just a few things that I'd like to point out to you this morning. Number one, and most importantly and so refreshing, we can ask God for help. It's so simple. Yet sometimes we miss it because we're used to being self-dependent. We're used to being self-reliant, that we sometimes struggle to just ask for help. Sometimes I've been myself working, you know, through something, a challenge or whatever the case, and it dawns on me, man, I can ask God to help me. So we don't have to do this alone. We're not meant to do it alone. We're meant to do it with God. We're co-laborers with him. And the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. He's in our hearts to help us to live the Christian life. We're not supposed to do it on our own. So number one, we can ask God for help. As we see in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructed us to ask for God's help so that we may not be overpowered by temptations. There's something about asking God for help. He's designed this whole system and has made it to where we are dependent on Him. Look how this prayer goes on. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Help us. We are dependent upon Him on everything. He's our Father. We look to Him for provision, for strength, for everything we need. Throughout the scriptures, we see God's people asking for His help, and we always see Him intervening and helping them. And to us, He says in Hebrews 4:16, that we can come to His throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we find ourselves in temptations and tests of our faith, let us come to the throne of grace and simply ask for help. You know, last week we were at a youth camp, and we had such a great time. And we went through different obstacle courses. We call them skills. Tito's right here. He knows what I'm talking about. And I see some of the other youth. So one of the obstacles that we had was we had to go from one wooden platform to another one. It was probably about 10 feet away, but we couldn't touch the ground. We had to use a rope that was hanging on a tree to swing over to the other side. So we had a group of about 12 of us here on this platform, and our task was to swing by that on that rope to make it to the other side without touching the ground. The camp counselor made it to where he said, okay, this is the scenario. Down there, there's about 5 alligators there. You can't touch the ground. So you have to swing yourself and make it over to the other side. So that was the scenario that he gave us. So we were there. I was just kind of looking over. I was not fully participating. And so it all seemed really easy. Except that right before we got started, the counselor took the rope that we were supposed to hang to swing from point A to point B, and he threw it to the side of the tree, out of our reach. So we were like, okay, how are we going to get the rope? He said, think about it. So we were there thinking about it, trying to process. One of the youth said something like, let's see if we can become like a snake or something. He mentioned something that was, you know, really funny. Because we were trying to reach over to the other tree, but we just couldn't reach. It was too far. So we were there thinking, okay, there's got to be a way out of this. We have to be able to do this because he said we could do it. We're supposed to go from point A to point B. And so he saw the look on our faces that we're about to give up, and he said, he didn't say anything. One of the youth said, counselor, could you please, he mentioned his name and said, could you please hand us the rope? And he said, sure. And then the counselor smiled and said, all you had to do was ask. Sometimes we're stuck from point A to point B, and all we have to do is ask. God is there ready to help us. We can't reach the other side. We couldn't reach that rope. There's no way. It was out of reach. But we just asked, and he smiled and said, here, have the rope. And I'll admit, I couldn't figure that out either. I said, wow, just so simple. Sometimes we miss it. But God wants us to ask for help. He's there ready to help us. All we have to do is ask. Number two, as we face temptations and trials in this life, I want to remind you that this word tempted or temptation could mean we often associate it with temptation to sin, and we should, because indeed that's included there. But also the word is used elsewhere with the idea of being tested as the test of your faith. When the disciples were praying with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, remember how Jesus told them, watch and pray so that you may not enter into temptation. Well, he was not talking about a temptation to sin. It was about the test of their faith that was about to come when they arrested Jesus. Many of them failed. They betrayed Jesus. They left him. So Peter denied Jesus. Of course, he restored them later. But it was a test of their faith. So you see this idea of being tested as opposed to being tempted to sin as we know it, as we think of it. So number two, Jesus understands the temptations that we go through. And this is a fact that is most powerful, I think, because sometimes we're walking in this life, you know, and we think, well, God and Jesus, yes, they're sitting in heaven on the heavenly throne, and I'm here struggling with whatever it is that I'm dealing with. Does he have an idea of what it's like being me, what it's like being here? Well, he does, because he was here. He lived here for 33 years. In fact, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, it says in Hebrews 4:15 that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. This is Jesus, our high priest. It says there that he has been tempted in every respect, even as we have been, as we are. So whatever it is that we're going through, whatever test or trial or temptation that we're facing, he has dealt with it. He understands. So as we ask him for help, as we go to him in prayer, let us remember that not only is he willing to help us, not only does he want us to ask for his help, he really, truly understands. He knows what it's like to be a human. He's a human. He's 100% God, 100% human. That's something that is beyond our intellect or comprehension, but we receive it by faith. It's what the Bible reveals. So he was here. He is here now by the Holy Spirit. But he walked upon this earth just like you and I do. And he dealt with the same frustrations and trials and tests, even from his own people that were supposed to receive him. But he knows what we go through. Number three, as we face temptations and trials and tests, let us remember that God will not allow us to be tempted and tried beyond what we can handle. He will not allow us to be tempted or tried or tested beyond what we can handle. I think that's also a very assuring thought, because, see, what might be a test or a temptation for you, or what might be a temptation for me or a test may not be for you. We're all different, and perhaps we find ourselves in different stages or we're different people, and he knows what we will be able to handle and what we will not be able to handle. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God is faithful and he will not let us be tempted beyond our ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that we might be able to endure it. So today, you might be facing temptations and tests of your faith, but be encouraged. God is with you. He wants for you to ask for help, and he understands, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. I'm so glad. The second part of our verse says, verse 13, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The phrase translated evil here can mean either evil or evil one, as we have it in some of our translations. Of course, the evil one we're talking about is Satan himself. He's the accuser. He's the deceiver. Now, regardless of which translation we choose, the evil or evil one, we have a God of deliverance. We have a God who will deliver us from whatever evil plots or plans he may have against us. If we ask him, if we submit ourselves to him. Those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus as our Savior, we're in a constant battle. When we became Christians, we joined the army. We joined the army of God. And this is an invisible army. And so by becoming children of God, automatically we became enemies of Satan and his forces. So we're in this battle. We're in this battle. And really, ultimately, the prize, if you will, or the objective of this battle is souls. The salvation of people is ultimately what's at stake. Because when we're fighting against Satan and he's trying to attack us, ultimately he's against our spiritual progress and the progress of the church. Ultimately, he wants to render the church ineffective and you and I ineffective on a personal level so that we will not be able to accomplish the task that he commissioned us to do on this earth. The church is the most important institution on this earth. And he will do anything he can to destroy it, to oppose it, to render it ineffective, because he knows that the church is the doorway to heaven. Through the preaching of this gospel, through the discipleship ministries of the church, this church is a preaching point. It's a city of light. It's a doorway into heaven. People walk in here, hear the gospel, they get saved. They receive Jesus. And they're translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the dominion of Satan, into the kingdom of light. So this is the most important agency and organization upon this whole planet. So he will oppose us. But God is faithful. He will help us. He will deliver us. In one sense, we have been already delivered from evil and the evil one. Jesus defeated all evil on the cross. In defeating Satan on the cross, Jesus defeated sin. He defeated sin, sickness, and death, hopelessness, and anything that is not good and of God. So in one sense, we are already delivered. On the other sense, on the other hand, each of us is a target of Satan's attacks and opposition. So we should not live in fear or anxiety. This is something that we must always remember, that we're at war with an unseen enemy. It is why the Apostle Paul encourages to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He went on to say, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Notice this passage here says that we are to be strong in the Lord and his might and his strength, not in our own. Once again, that's why we humble ourselves and we ask for God's help. Continuing on his military analogy, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As we face the attacks and temptations of our spiritual enemy, we must rely completely on God, just like Jesus did. The Bible tells us in James 4:15 that we are to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from us. That's how we defeat him. We submit to God, to his word, whatever it is. You know, the devil has many ways of tempting us. It's not just temptations to commit sin, but do you know that really God is not pleased when we're full of worry and anxiety? Because he said, fear not. He wants us to be full of faith, full of expectancy. And we're humans. We can all fall prey to negativism and fear and anxiety and all of these issues. But God's plan for us is that we are at peace. Yes, we will face problems, situations. We all do. But the enemy, he has the ability to throw these darts against our minds. And if we're not careful, we're not sleeping at night because we're so worried about something that 95% of what we worry about doesn't happen sometimes. And so he will oppose us. He will throw all of these darts against us. Yes, of course, temptations to sin and to do the wrong thing. So we battle the enemy. We battle things. We have a battle against Satan, the world, the flesh. But we can be victorious through Christ as we submit to him. Walk in the streets of life. Let us humbly depend on God and his power to help us overcome the temptations and tests that we face. Let us ask for his help and strength to stand firm against the attacks of our enemy. This morning, regardless of what our temptation or test might be, let us remember that God wants us to ask for help. Number two, that Jesus understands the temptations and trials and tests that we go through. And number three, that we have a faithful God, that he will not allow us to be tempted and tried beyond what we can handle. I'm glad for that. I'm very happy about that because he knows. The Bible says that he knows our frame. He understands who we are because he created us. He knows what we can handle and what we cannot. So be encouraged this morning. God is with you. Whatever you might be facing, he will help you through it. Ask for his help, and his power will come upon your life and set you free. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we live in a world full of sin, temptations, and trials that will try our faith. We humble ourselves and ask you to help us overcome. This morning we ask you, let us not be overcome by temptations, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.